Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, here with our assignment. The most successful people are those who are good at Plan B. Of course, the very most successful people are those who don't plan. And then there are the rest of us. As much as we might endeavor to let go and let life, we can find ourselves stumbling over assumptions and expectations we didn't know we had. We're right here in the moment, completely present, following life's guidance, when suddenly something comes out from left field and we find ourselves flailing around in what to do. Today, notice the Plan B you go to when it feels as if life throws you a curve. Remember that curves only happen to us when we're not present. Record and listen.
What fun.
What fun. Well, here's our first caller, Sherry.
All right.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hello, Dan.
Hey. It's kind of funny. Sometimes you ask yourself these questions and the answer just immediately appears. I guess it's often the case. But my plan B was anger. If things don't go the way I expect or plan, get angry. And we can see how helpful that is. But that was kind of the surprising thing, is that there were a few plan Bs, but they're all survival mechanisms. And kind of the freedom in recording and listening about it was it became very obvious other choices are possible.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
Let
me lead the witness. So you're going along, and you find yourself in one of those, oops, I didn't know I had an expectation, but clearly I did because it's not going the way I thought it was going to go, and now I'm angry. And so to stop right there, right there, maybe pick up the recorder, something like that. And then in that stopping, in that moment, you see all these other options.
Yeah. It had been reflexive to the point where doing the exercise created the space so that, when the computer stops doing what I wanted to do, it's not da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's I don't have to go with Plan B. There was almost a compulsion for Plan B.
Yes. Yes.
It still rises up, but it's kind of one of those things where centered, it's just, oh, that's rising up. And you just kind of look at it like it's these less than beneficial behaviors, when centered and then they rise up, it's just kind of, well, that's an odd thing. It's as if, a big purple elephant just skateboarded down the street, and you're kind of like, huh. But I don't have to go with it. Odd. And then
it catches our attention, right? So we're meant to be unconscious through the whole thing, and then just come to as we're cussing at the computer, and then being told we're lunatic and feeling bad, right? But to be conscious, to do the exercise, to be present to it. Then we have a chance to see what's actually happening, and as you say, to realize, well, the computer just did this thing. I don't need to go to that habitual reaction. And then you're already in a place of other options.
Mm-hmm. And it feels kind. That pause, and I'm even kind of getting choked up a little bit right now.
And what a gift to the nervous system, to the body, right? You know, you just kind of feel the body saying, thank you for not putting me through that giant jolt of adrenaline and cortisol and whatever else is happening to me. When you go into those unconscious states of feeding ego.
Yeah, it is a gift, and I guess I'm feeling the gratitude wave because how you do anything is how you do everything. Even just making that choice different with the computer, suddenly it's different in personal relationships, with challenging relationships with the parent, all these places, suddenly there's this space now.
Yes. Yeah, you have a process. It's a different process. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
So
that's
thank you.
Great. Thank you, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dan. You know, Sherry, it's that, to me, that place of anger or whatever that energy jolt is when we come to, I think you were talking about it when we were on the fear retreat, it's a way of coming to. It's a moment of becoming aware, and that awareness releases a lot of energy, and the way conditioning reacts to that is to siphon that energy into itself again in some way, through a conversation or getting angry or whatever else that will maintain the story, maintain the ego. Because what we've just recognized is that we are in a story of expectation. We're not present, which is why it feels like something is happening that I wasn't, that I didn't want to happen. It really is, okay, well, I expect the computer to work. And that's the story, the lack of presence that I'm in. But if I'm here in every moment, then whatever the computer is doing is what the computer is doing. And when we come to... conditioning wants to take that energy in the form of anger or whatever else it is.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, that's so well stated. Yeah, so I'm trained to get mad at the computer because I wasn't present.
That's right. And from ego's perspective, that's exactly, if the story is told from ego's perspective, that's how it would be told. But from the moment of, from an awareness perspective, I was unconscious, I became aware, and now my opportunity is to stay present.
Yes, and to say thank you. Thank you, malfunctioning computer, for reminding me that I wasn't here. Thank you for showing me that I really do need to be present. Thank you for that. Little friend,
well,
give it a little pat.
Yeah, and reflecting on that right after the retreat, it's always a moment of such intense suffering because it's the experience of it not being the way we want it to be. And that's what suffering is, not wanting, I mean, wanting it to be different.
Yeah, wanting something to be different than it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Well, here's our, I guess that's why the quote says the most successful people are those who don't plan.
Yes, yes, because those are the people who are present. And I wondered in that if people are going to say, well, define successful. And it's true. I mean, we define successful in a very specific way, which is freedom from suffering. And so the people who are free from suffering are people who are present.
Yeah. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. It's Jen in Rhinebeck.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Jen.
What's
Hi.
Going on in Rhinebeck? Oh, what's going on with Jen?
Well, yeah. Well, in Rhinebeck, it's gorgeous. The sun just finally came out after many days of it not being here, so it's lovely.
Good.
I'm also lovely.
Oh, good. Everything's lovely there.
Everything's all lovely right. when the sun comes out. Exactly. So what I saw in this was kind of fun because I'm like I like to plan. I'll admit it, and I feel like in reflecting on this, I was recognizing that I've gotten I've sort of changed my perspective on what planning is for or how it works. And I've been, at least in certain circumstances, like there are still things I get attached to, but with a lot of things I'm able to sort of plan with complete awareness of the fact that virtually none of my plan is going to happen. But there's this, like, it's kind of that, what's that you know, phrase of like, you know, it's good to meet God halfway or something. It's sort of like, I feel like I'm doing my part, like indicating like, okay, you know, this is either something I'm being called to or interested in or something that life dropped in or however you want to phrase that. And so I take a couple steps to show up in that direction, you know, via a plan of some sort and then just wait to get the next information.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So it's kind of, this is what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you're in relationship with life, right?
Yeah.
So this is what I'm seeing, so I'm going to put on this outfit.
Yeah.
However, if that's not where I'm going today, happy to change clothes. Not a
right.
problem.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one place I've been seeing it a lot is I've been planning a vacation this summer to some place that I've wanted to go back to. I was there for 2 nights in my 20s, and I've wanted to go back ever since. And, you know, I'm constantly, like, looking at pictures of this place, and, you know, there's something that mm-hmm. calls me to this place, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I'm planning a vacation to go back there this year, and it's been fascinating to watch this process of, like, I'll just take one step and then wait and let, you know, the next thing happen. And inevitably, I, like, you know, encounter somebody who just spent the summer there or last year or, you know, or something like that
uh-huh.
that keeps unfolding.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and what we don't – so if we hear conditioned mind take planning into
mm-hmm.
something negative –
yeah.
Or make planning a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we could call a plan the fact that I'm hoping to spend part of the summer in this place that I love.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a plan.
Yeah.
Or it would be, okay, I need to get the airline tickets. I need to find the hotel. I need to book the hotel. I need
mm-hmm.
to know, I need to plan the tours. I need to,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
in the one, it's just simply not drifting into quietism where
mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit on the couch and wait for life to lift me off the couch and
right.
take me in the direction that I should be going.
Yeah.
So as you say, it's a participatory thing. So
yeah.
here I am. I'm willing. Ready. Okay. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the plan can be availability.
Yeah.
We. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And
yeah.
so conditioning is always trying to work an angle so that there's going to be something wrong.
Yeah. Yes, and it tried definitely hard with this. You know, I've been, you know, gently planning this, and then one night I had a little bit of time, and I said, and it dropped in, like, oh, this is the moment to go buy the ticket. You know, so then I go buy the ticket, and then waiting even more, and then by the time it dropped in, oh, might want to make a reservation of a place to stay. All the places are booked. You know, I'm going to
uh-huh.
a national park, so now all the places are booked. And, you know, really quickly it sent me down into this, oh, my God, this is now not going to be the vacation I wanted all this time. I've been trying to get back there, and now I'm not even going to get mm-hmm. to stay in the park. And, like, for a night, I was just so miserable, and I woke up the next morning, and I was like, wait a minute. You're not going to take this away from me. You can't take this away from me, you know? Like, I really felt like, I'm not going to let you have this.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm sleeping
yeah.
in the car, you know? It doesn't really matter.
Right, right. I'm trusting that this is all for me, and
yeah.
this is going to go in the way that is most beneficial for me.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. So it's helpful to, like, see this with content like that, which is not life and death, you know? Other content
mm-hmm.
conditioning gets me to feel like it's life and death, and I have to take a more rigid approach to thing, you know, the plan. The plan actually has to happen the way I lay it out.
Yeah, yeah, so that the misery is just really at the highest level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so,
very fun.
Very fun. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Ashwini.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Bye. It's so true how we're seduced out of the present, you know, because we're making progress towards what our intention is. But mm-hmm. we still have to be present to where we are in that progress rather than at the
yes. outcome. Yes, yes. So as Jen said, so now it's the moment to buy the tickets. It just drops in that this would be a good time to buy the tickets. Buy the tickets. Right? Now it would be good to find a place to say, oops, there isn't one.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, there's a moment. How are we going to be with that?
Yeah. Yes. And that's all we know. We don't know whether we're going to do the vacation or not. And conditioning will take that and make it mean something that hasn't played out yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Well,
all
and the fun part of that is, It's going to make me miserable in this moment because it's telling me I'm going to be miserable in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, mm-hmm. you know, it's right. I am miserable if I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air.
Okay.
Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa from North Carolina.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa. Hi. Let's see.
Breathing over here?
Yeah.
Well,
one thing that occurred to me around, you know, the very most successful people are those who don't plan at all, was that if you have no plan, you can't fail. You always succeed in whatever you're doing because it's what you're doing. There's no way that you can't be successful.
And you always have what you want.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you're always just there in success, being present in the moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that could be a plan, couldn't it? That could be my plan. My life plan.
Which plan? To have no plan or to always be present?
To always be here, present to what is.
Mm-hmm.
Taking full advantage of what is. That could be the no plan plan.
Yes, the no plan plan, which sounds like, you know, what we... or what you all are always talking about, it's a process rather than like, okay, my plan is to get from A to B to C, you know, like content. My plan is a process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my plan is to, and again, it's kind of back to that meeting life halfway.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
it drops in that that getting going to A would be a good thing to do. Now, we don't want to question that too closely because I don't know why I think it's good. It just dropped in. It was just an encouragement. It was just feeling, just a sense that A would be a good thing to do. And so you start moving toward A. Again, do you think that this is true and real and you have to get there and who and how you are is dependent upon that and your future happiness and on getting to A, or is it just, well, you know, I felt called in that direction, so I'm going to move in that direction until I get other information.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of time spent in I don't know kind of there as well, like, well, I don't know. Ego, I feel like when I get those feelings, ego is always like, but is this the right thing? Like, are you sure? Is this going to get, you know, what? It's like, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. Am I sure?
I don't know.
Of course I'm not sure.
Right.
Of course I'm not sure. That we can establish right now.
Right? Yeah.
What are you sure of?
Right, exactly.
Absolutely nothing.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I was sort of looking about around this was that kind of like either listening for life's guidance or having no plan, it's sort of like being on retreat. It's like there's the schedule, like your life, I mean my life anyways, has sort of a schedule already. So I just step into that kind of schedule, and then I just follow the schedule, follow where I'm supposed to show up, and follow that guidance, you know, just always following that guidance. And it's so, you know, on retreat, it's like so relaxing, and it's kind of like the only goal of being on retreat is just to be there. And it's, I guess it's the same thing with, I guess with life, the only goal of here is to be here and to experience it. Yeah. Not to suffer.
Yeah. And that, the point that you're making is an important one. It's not like if ego isn't planning our lives, there isn't a plan. You know, we would call it a schedule or a rhythm. So for you, you know, you have a family, you have kids, you have work, you have, So it's not like, you know, you wake up in the morning and it's just this wide open blank slate that you're either going to fill in in 15-minute increments, or you're just going to lie there in bed all day, So yeah.
Yeah.
So can
we
be the same way in that schedule as we are in retreat? That's probably pretty much what we're talking about.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so you get up in the morning and you know, the kids go to school or the whatever happens, and then one of them says, I have a stomach ache. But you thought you were going to go do this errand that needed to be done, right? So
it's like getting a note on the notice board or what is it, the message board from the guest master. By the way, no.
You're not doing that now. You're doing this other thing now.
Exactly.
Or that's been canceled. We're going to go. We're meditating now. Just go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Here we are. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing about it is the trust too. Like when you're, you know, at the monastery on retreat, there's hopefully, or it grows, the trust in the schedule, the trust in the messages on the notice board that everything is taken care of, you know, and to live your life like that with, you know, you've got your things that are the schedule and there's sort of that, but there's trust that it's all taken care of. I just have to show up, be there, respond, listen, attend.
Yeah. And we were talking about this a little bit in group last night, about it's okay. That can be part of our plan. Right? It's the understanding. The opposite of something's wrong is it's all okay. It's fine. We're fine here. Which again, I understand for people who do not do awareness practice or don't look at life the way we do, this sounds insane.
Yeah.
It's irresponsible. It's just everything you could lay on a person who is really doing it wrong. And for those of us who have the view that there is something more important than meeting conditioned standards of behavior, there's another opportunity for us in being in a human form, then all of this we can realize, and you're kind of indicating this, that we're in a process of living into it, living into that trust, that sense of okayness, the realization that there isn't anything wrong. All we need to do is just show up and be here with as grateful a heart as we can manage, and all is well.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, before you go, with Jen, you know, she could be as happy sleeping in her car.
Mm-hmm.
And as miserable in the finest accommodations as a person could be in either case, and it's her choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's really what we're looking at. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the plan, of course, we're conditioned to believe the plan is going to deliver the happiness we're seeking. If we can make the right plan and execute it perfectly, then we will be happy. But we happen to know that's not the case.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Vanessa.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Vanessa. I love that mantra, that reframing. Instead of there's nothing wrong, it's all okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that emphasis on what is so. I think someone mentioned it in the group last night. It's the difference between the peace rally and the anti-war rally.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's perception, right? It's perspective. Yeah. And once we get the hang of that, everything else falls into place very nicely. Not that saying it's all okay wouldn't make people as crazy as saying there's nothing wrong. So
yes.
For a conditioned mind, that is just gasoline on a fire, right? No, it is not okay. Everything is not fine, and there's plenty that's wrong. Let me tell you about that. And, of course,
yeah.
We would never enter that discussion because it's a perceptual thing. If you don't see it, you don't see it. You'll see it when you see it. And there's no getting there through arguing logic.
Yes. Or arguing with conditioned mind. At any rate, I'm going to try to squeeze another caller in, Sherry. Here we go.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, Sherry and Ashwini, it's Anne in New York.
Hello, Anne.
I'm surprised. I just wanted to say thank you so much for this practice because over the last little while I've had kind of two sudden deaths in my family, and being able to show up and participate with practice and do meditation and have Project Joy has really been a gift that allowed me to be with my grandmother as she passed. And it was amazing. So it's just such a, so much gratitude.
Mm-hmm. So when we say things like, these are the situations in life that we practice for. You know exactly what that means, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all the practice ahead of time that prepares us to be able to be present with an open heart and unconditionally loving when it's really important for us to show up that way.
Yeah, and I think the biggest gift was just my grandmother. I'm very close with, and just being able to go in and be present with her as she's in her process of dying was so amazing. And then there was one moment where ego wanted to jump in and I got a little scared. And then it was so clear what was going on. I'm like, no, I am not present with my grandmother right now. Go away. And it just really deepened my practice to just amazing. Just thank you.
To know that you have that ability. Right?
Yeah.
Even in a situation like that, when it's coming at you with the worst it's got, you have the ability to say, no, I'm not attending to you. I choose to be here with this person I love.
Yeah, and it was so clear, so vivid. Like, and to now, like, with other quote-unquote not as important, not that you need to compare them, but it's so clear.
I know what you mean. We know what you mean.
Like, boom, no. Okay, next. And Sangha and everyone calling in, like just listening to everyone when I couldn't participate during the show, and just everything, life, everybody showing up. So deep gesho to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
Take care of you, huh? Treasure yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that's and showing up and participating to all practices, I knew I was treasuring myself because I knew that this would get me through the strength to get when it got challenging. To be present, to stay present. I knew that this was the work that I needed to do to stay present when I absolutely, positively wanted to be there nowhere else.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I just want to underline before we let you go is the selfless nature of it.
Mm.
Right? You really wanted to be there for this woman that you love so much, who has meant so much to you and given you so much in your life.
Yes.
Yeah. Ego to take a second of that. And that's the kind of thing that motivates us, inspires us to train as diligently as we can train.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar to the woman who talked in earlier, like, you're not going to take this away from me, my camping trip to wherever. You can't do that. No.
No.
This is present for this.
No. Yeah. All right. Well, it makes me happy. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
So happy.
Thanks, Ann.
Go happy.
Yeah, it seems to be the rallying cry, right? Conditioning doesn't get to take away my life.
Yeah, you're not going to steal this. No, I want to be here for this. Mm-hmm. I choose love. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. I bet we have another assignment.
Yes, our focus for today. The more sympathy you give, the less you need. This is an expression of what we call social, being a social relief, as well as what you get is what you do. In the present, all our needs are met. When we're not present, we're living out ego's needs, which are far beyond legion. Taking care of oneself, choosing the fulfillment and satisfaction of this here now, frees us to be sensitive to the needs of others. As we move to an orientation of compassion, we have that compassion for all beings. Today, notice how you seek to have your needs met by others whenever you're not present to the fulfillment of this year now. We're taught and listen. Wow.
Mm. Wow. That's big. Very exciting.
All right. Very exciting.
Here we go.
See you tomorrow, Sherry. Talk to you tomorrow. And everybody take care.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.